first one I'm going to read is a proclamation made by the Governor Bradford in 1623. That's 3 years after the what we would call the settlers in America arrived, and they barely survived. I think a lot of them, probably almost half of them, or maybe more than half of them, died in the first year. But after 3 years, everything went good, and to make this story short, here we are. The greatest nation and the greatest nation of the world. But in 1623, I want to read to you the proclamation made by Governor Bradford. To all you pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, Mexican corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and he has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from the pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, including Filipinos, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of the Lord, 1623. And the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God of all his blessings. Amen. Now it was President Lincoln who declared Thanksgiving a national celebration in 1863. Now next Thursday is the year of National Thanksgiving Day, a day in which supposedly, like those early pilgrims, set aside time in our busy schedule to give thanks to God. But of course today, in our politically correct society, hostility to the Christian God is very much accommodated in the name of tolerance. Now you really don't want me to talk about tolerance because I might lose my Christianity. There are those who celebrate Thanksgiving Day without thanking God. I actually went to their website. Instead of prayers of religious ritual, we are encouraged to take time to thank people who made our life better. Instead of thanking God for the crops, we should thank the farmers. We should thank our doctors. We should also thank science and the scientists. We should thank our friends and our family. Well, I don't have anything against that. They say that thanking God is irrelevant and insulting to the people who were responsible to what happens to us. Like a child who graduated from college should recognize that it is the people around him, like his parents and his teachers and professors, who made it possible and not God. Now, I'm not going to go to the argument. I'm just simply trying to tell you what they're saying. So let me start this passage in the Bible that what you heard me talk about many times before. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 22. But God, who shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they don't have any excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds become dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools. What amazing in this passage is the fact that Paul was talking about sin of humanity in general. And if you want him to name specific sins, we would probably think of murder, of lying. I heard a lot of that in the last past month. Terrorism, bigotry, racism. But being unthankful would probably not be included in the list of wickedness. Sure, unthankful is rude, but it is not a sin or an act of wickedness. And probably even some Christian would agree with that. But Paul understood the true essence of rejecting the truth of God. Being unthankful is one of the basic characteristics of a nation or people or individual who willfully and knowingly rejected the truth of God. Now, I'm not talking here about people that are ignorant of the truth or have never heard of the truth. I'm talking here about people who knew God and rebelled against God. Now, you probably consider yourself a good person, courteous, and know how to say thank you in the right time and in the right place. And like many Americans today, you do not have a problem to give thanks to God. You probably have the phrase, oh, thank God. You know, whenever, as one of your common expression, whenever you receive or experience something good. I mean, that's just common. And some people even they use the name of Jesus as their expression. But Paul in this passage warns us that we become unthankful is that not matter how we act publicly, when we do not acknowledge who God is as he revealed himself to us. And that's the key there. The deep of our thanking God is the way we realize who God is in our life. Verse 21 says very clearly, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds become dark and confused. I am afraid because America today, you know, I'm really careful to say this because I'm a pastor and I have a church. And I don't want to sound like I'm condemning other churches nor other pastors. But I am afraid because we are accustomed to hearing those feel-good sermons. You know, the sermons that you practically hear it every Sunday, and every Sunday you always feel good. You never get convicted or feel bad about anything about your life. You feel like you're perfect. You feel like all you're missing is some good stuff or something confession or something to believe, and you would have been much better. You know, those feel-good sermons. And I believe that because we are accustomed to hearing these feel-good sermons and messages from many pulpits, that many of us who does not spend time to know and study the Bible on our own, but depends on church or media outlets to tell us something that tickles or pleases our ears about God, many Christians, people who claim to be Christians, have an anemic, or I would say weak, or twisted understanding of God, as Paul warned us from this passage. Now I can tell you, I can call two Christians, exactly claim that they love God and they're faithful to God, who will give you an exactly opposite of the characteristic of God. We are religious. Yet we do not want God of the Bible because we like to keep our sins. That's what Paul is warning us. So we force ourselves to believe a God made up of our foolish imaginations. They began to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. Some Christians will even say that if there's a hell, then I don't believe God of the Bible. Can you imagine that? How can that doctrine can come up from a Christians who read the Bible? This results to more wickedness, and we think it's okay because our mind is dark and confused. Now, the implication of this passage was the fact that our genuine worship and thanksgiving toward God is the product of our genuine understanding of who He is. Amen. Are you thankful this morning? Or do you let things in this life get in the way? And that's very important. Are you thankful this morning? Or do you let things in this life get in the way? The implication of this passage was the fact that our genuine worship and thanksgiving toward God is the product of our genuine understanding of who He is. If we really do not know Him, or if we refuse to believe His revelation of Himself to us, we can maintain our status of as religious people, but we cannot truly worship Him and truly give thanks to Him. That's the reason I believe you can measure a person's relationship to God by a sense of worship. Now, I am sad also to tell you that many of our worship services are very much close to concert than worship. And I will leave it at that. Paul explained this truth further in 2 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, where Paul warns Timothy of the terrible, difficult times that marks the last days. You should know this, he said to Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. Can you imagine that? He actually described America. 2,000 years ago, for people will love only themselves and their money. We even have a name for that. Self-esteem and capitalism. People will only love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. See that? He's right there. Ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasures rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Now, I'm really caught up with the word. They are ungrateful, and they will be cruel and hate what is good. Now, that's really explain America as I know it now. You know, all you have to do is imagine the election is over. Clinton and Trump, they're actually black and white when it comes to their platform. But some people said, Clinton is evil, is dark, is bad. And then the other side will say, Trump is evil and it's dark and it's bad. Now, it doesn't take too much thinking to figure out that one of this group is actually think what is evil and what is bad is good. Right? It doesn't take a lot of thinking to figure that. Either one of this group is trying to accept what is evil and what is wicked to be good. So America is not very far from it. We're halfway. Because the election said they barely made it, both of them 50%. Paul made a long list, probably 19, of people behavior that will make the last day as difficult times. And being ungrateful or unthankful made it to the top 10. For Paul, being unthankful is not just unethical or bad manners. It is the characteristic that defines those who does not regard God as God. It is a sin of rejecting who God is. When is the last time you thank God? When you woke up this morning, did you thank Him? Or do you think of your problems? Or do you think of the people that hurt you? Or do you think of people, of the money that you don't have in the bank? When is the last time you really stop and say, Lord, thank you for everything that I am and for everything that I have? Being unthankful is the rejection to admit and submit to God's revelation of Himself to us. Now, I keep forcing this issue that our thankfulness relates to our perception of who God is. It cannot be other way around. There's no other way around it. Otherwise, your thankfulness will always depend on how you feel. But if it depends on who God is, you will always be thankful no matter what happened. Amen. I know you're hungry. It is pride to put ourselves in the place of God, the most dangerous sin of all. You know, by experience. And I would say this by experience. It means I've been there. I know what it means. There are several ways that will lead us to become unthankful. Number one is the sense for the fact that it is our effort, therefore it is our success. We cannot deeply thank God because we feel we work very hard to get it. So it is us who did it and not God. Of course, as Christians, we don't say it this way. Yet it is very easy to fall into this kind of thinking. And the only way you can check yourself that this is what you're thinking is if you are offended so very much when somebody did not appreciate you or thank you, or somebody did not recognize you, then you become really offended because you think it was you. Of course, like I said, as Christians, we don't say it this way. Yet it is very easy to fall into this kind of thinking and making our thankful confession shallow and just a lip service. Sometimes we say, oh, I thank God, really to make us look better. Another reason sometimes it's hard for us to really thank God is because we think we deserve the good stuff we have because of who we are. Amen? I mean, look at that person beside you. You know you're better than her or than him, right? Right? You deserve more than God. If God will give that person a nice car, a nice house, God should owe you one also. Why? Because you're better. Well, if it's not wife, don't tell her. You might get in trouble tonight, or if it's your husband. We think we deserve the good stuff we have because of who we are. We are better than those who does not have as much as we have. This kind of attitude affects many Christians, especially those who work hard serving in the church. Lord, how come brother this is driving a nice car and I am the board member? I am the one who stand up there and lead sing every Sunday. I know you should give me one also. We say we deserve it because we are a good Christian. We love God. So God should do good things for us. And yeah, we are thankful, but then who else do you think should God give those blessings if not to us? God owe it to us. We miss the meaning of mercy and grace. And out of our lips comes out shallow, thankful confession. True thanksgiving, I want you to understand, comes out from the heart that experiences desperation, hopelessness, and helplessness. Amen. When you know you are hopeless and helpless in your situation, then suddenly someone stepped in and gave us a hand to take out of our misery, then it can naturally result pure and genuine thanksgiving. Amen? Now, true thanksgiving also come out from the heart of those who genuinely feels undeserving and unworthy. True thanksgiving come out from the heart of those who genuinely feels undeserving and unworthy. If you are in deep trouble and you feel that you are getting what you deserve, but then suddenly someone came in and said, you know what, it's okay, you can start all over again, that experience can cause you to express genuine thanksgiving. So as a person, as an individual, before God, unless we experience the sense of desperation, hopelessness, and helplessness, and the sense that whatever bad things that happen to us is something that we deserve, and we deserve nothing better, it is only when we come to that place and we realize what God has done for us that we can really know how to express deep, and truly thanksgiving to God. I know it is not politically correct to say this. It is insulting to our ego. It hurts our self-esteem and dignity to say that all the bad things that happen to us, we deserve. We know that. And last night I was just telling to the youth that Jesus Christ told them that there are a group of people that suffer tragedy. And people are talking to each other and saying, oh, you know what? That happens to that person because they are worse sinners than us. But Jesus Christ turned to them and said, that's not true. Just like them, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So the question is not, are we better because we are in a better condition? The question is this, why is it that we are in the better condition today? I want to remind us this morning that when we were hopeless and helpless and condemned spiritually in our spiritual condition because of our sin, and there is nothing we can do about it because we deserve it. All human beings in this world, it doesn't matter how much suffering you have, how much tragedy you have come into your life, I want you to say this. In front of God, we all deserve it. And I know it hurts our feeling because we are not as bad as the person sitting beside us. But the Bible declares us that we are all sinners and we deserve death. And unless a person comes to the point in his life that he is hopeless and that he is helpless, and he deserves the condition that he is in, he can never be thankful to God. But in our condition, I want you to understand, God, in sheer mercy and love for us, came to where we are, forgave us of our sin, and gave us eternal life. Amen! Amen. And I want you to understand that this morning, the very reason that we are thankful to God is not the fact that we live here in America. I was sharing to the youth last night that this week I was really bothered. I was talking to my friend. I'm almost going to cry because I was able to contact all my friends in the Philippines from elementary, 1971 to 1977. And most of them are like me, 50 years old already. And they make me and they added me to their thread, to their discussion in the internet, and I was reading it. And they were talking to a person that are in deep trouble, and they are trying to figure out how they can help him because she is very sick and she needs some money in order for her to feel much better every week. You know how much she needs? She needs 300 pesos. And the group and the internet doesn't know how to figure it out. And I was thinking, 300 pesos, that's what? $6? I spend more than $6 just drinking coffee before I start my work every day. And they are concerning that. And I will look at the picture. And I was looking at that picture when I was grade 6. And when I was look at these people, and I can see they're just like me. I am not better than them. And I will look at my place right now. I will always wonder, Lord, what's wrong with you? How come out of those people, you pick me and put me in America and bless me? Why is it that I am not the one who is struggling with sickness? Why is it that I am not the one who is poor? Because I deserve it. Morally, I am not better than them. Unless we come to a point where we realize that we are hopeless and that we are helpless and we deserve what we get, we can never realize and we can never understand what God has done for us. I want to remind us this morning, God loves us. And we must come to that point. Now I want you to understand, no matter how many sermons have you heard before, there is no other way to come to God unless the way of humility. You cannot come to God saying, Lord, I deserve your forgiveness because I'm better than my neighbor. Lord, I deserve your forgiveness because I have a green card. Lord, I deserve your forgiveness because my mom and my dad are good person. We all have come to that place in the way, and we must walk with it in humility and confess, Father, I come to you this morning because I am helpless, I am lost, and I deserve what I got in this life. But I thank you because you love me. That is what it means to recognize who God is and to appreciate what he has done for our life. It is only when we understand and we believe this truth that our hearts can produce a kind of thanksgiving that God expects from us. Paul was aware of this and he is not embarrassed to confess it. In Romans 7:24, he said, oh, what a miserable person I am. That is Paul. Paul is probably just comparing him to other person. He is one of the best. He is, during that time, he is considered to be educated to the best college available. It's like graduating in Yale or Harvard University with flying colors. And he's very powerful. He can ask governors and authority to kill people and capture them. But when he met the real true God and realized who he is before him, in Romans 7:24, he said, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from the life that is dominated by sin and death? Paul realized that he is helpless and hopeless and he deserved what's coming to him. But he said, thank God. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul, a man with authority and good reputation, in his own compared to many other people around him, understood this true condition of complete and total desperation. And he can say in verse 25, with all his heart, thank God. Amen. Can you thank God this morning? So I will close. I have one more page, but I don't have any more time. There are probably some of us this morning where we feel being thankful is the last thing we feel like doing. I understand that. I understand that every Valentine's Day, everybody feel like other loving other people. I understand that not every Christmas Day, people feel like giving gifts. I understand that every New Year's Day, people doesn't feel like they have a new beginning. And I also understand that Thanksgiving Day doesn't mean that everybody feel like giving thanks. I know this morning you're probably in a situation when where thanking God is the last thing that comes to your mind. I want you to have peace if you belong to God, because He has everything under control. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5:20, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belongs to Jesus. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So this morning, the question in Thanksgiving Day is not really, are you thankful? We can all probably raise out our hand on that question. The most important question is, do you really know God? Do you really know Him? Who is He in your life? And what it is that He has done for you? Unless you answer that question properly, you cannot thank Him. You can pretend you can thank Him, but you cannot really thank Him. If you are not sure of your answer, then the Bible wants you to know that God is not interested in destroying you or punishing you, but rather God is interested to reveal Himself to you. Amen! The first step was to believe that He exists, that He loves you, and He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And what is your response to Him?